Wine It Up a Notch podcast, a podcast where we discuss wine, life, and everything in between. My name is Anshu, and I'm your host, and I'm so thrilled that you're here to join me today. Thank you for taking the time to do so. Welcome to episode 11 of the podcast. I'll confess, I am really tired today. I usually try to record these podcast episodes in the morning. When I say usually, I'm on podcast episode 11, so for me, that's a long history, although I recognize for some people that are podcasting, that's still early in the game. Having said that, all of the podcasts that I've recorded to date have been in the daytime, in the morning, and I kind of have set some time out, in my schedule for recording podcast episodes in the morning, notwithstanding the fact that some days I don't get to it. I find that morning time to be when my mind is crisp and clear, and I can get my thoughts out and then move on with my day. But today, here in Toronto, we got dumped on. Now, it's still January 2022 as I'm recording this, and so it is not necessarily unexpected that we would have snow, especially in Canada or, you know, Toronto. We don't get as much snow, but I am Canadian, so I shouldn't really be saying much about snow, is probably what some people may be thinking. However, today we just literally got dumped on. And it was so much snow. I was just saying to my husband, I don't think I've seen that much snow fall in one day in probably 20 years. We were out there, you know, multiple times in the day for an hour at a time, just trying to get rid of the snow off the car, off the driveway, obviously, and the sidewalk, and then even trying to clear the street that, you know, it attaches to my driveway so that we could actually get the car out. It was such a struggle. On the plus side, you know, everybody in the neighborhood was out. It was, we were all in. So you always trade some jokes when that's the case. And also on the plus side, at some point in my snow shoveling journey, a very kind city worker who was working the plow came by and first actually pushed a bunch of snow. So if you don't live in a place that has a lot of snow, I should kind of explain how this goes. The snow falls, and if it's your private property, you have to clear the snow yourself. But if it's city property, the city will come and clear the snow. So the snow plows are always out, and then salters come out after the snow plows. Sometimes the salters are out before it even snows. But the salters, these salting machines, throw down salt to melt any ice that may form after a snowstorm. And the snowplow's job is to get in there and clear all of the piles of snow. So it's kind of a blessing and a bit of a, I'd say it's a blessing, but also a curse when the snowplows come, because on the one hand, they clear the street. Street is city-owned property, and so that helps us all be able to drive around and get out of our driveways, supposedly. But, and our, you know, they clear our sidewalks as well, so we can walk wherever we need to go. However, they also tend to pile up a lot of snow because they're essentially just pushing the snow up and down a surface until they find a place where they can bank it and leave it. So as they go down a street or down a sidewalk, they inevitably push snow kind of all over the place. So if you've just finished clearing your snow, that's when it becomes a curse that the plows have come through, because inevitably you end up with this other huge pile of snow, now a lot heavier and crustier because it's, you know, it's packed down from the snow plow having touched it and driven on it, and then, you know, just much heavier than freshly fallen snow, and you have to clear that. So that's how that whole process works. But as I was clearing somewhere in my journey, a gentleman came through with a snow plow, and at first I was cursing because I had just finished clearing everything. I was standing with my neighbor and was like, oh no, there's no way there's this snow plow's coming through. But then my neighbor and I were like, what if we just kind of, you know, gesticulate in the air and see if he'll come back and help us clear the driveway where he's put the additional snow. And he was kind enough and he came and did that. So that actually definitely saved me quite a bit of time. But that notwithstanding, it's been a long day of digging myself and my family out of the snow. I made the mistake this morning also of working out, you know, early in the morning, 6 a.m. I was very proud of myself, jumped on my Peloton bike and fit in a workout. But of course, now I'm super exhausted. But those things happen, I suppose. It's a Monday, so it's also, you know, coming out of the weekend, just kind of getting into life. It can be a difficult day to get through, notwithstanding. On the children front, unfortunately, my kids had a disappointing day today because they were if you listen to, you know, the episodes prior to this one, they were getting ready to go back to school. We've had a lockdown here in Ontario, and the schools have been virtual again for, I don't know, feels like the fifth or sixth time in our journey here in my part of the world as we try to survive COVID. But there was an announcement that was made that schools would be opening today. And so last night we hurried around the house and we packed everything up and we made sure we had, you know, indoor shoes, which are necessary here in the winter, so that when the kids take off their boots, they can still wear regular shoes in school, you know, snacks, water bottles, all of their school supplies from virtual schooling, all packed up and ready to go so that we would be able to get out early on Monday morning. And then, of course, we woke up this morning and at 6 a.m. an announcement was made by both my son and my daughter's school that school would not be in session and it would be virtual. So they were pretty disappointed, but I'll say they handled it reasonably well. They did get to go out and play in that tremendous amount of snow that I just mentioned. I still haven't had an opportunity to take a look and see exactly how much was dumped on us, but it was a winter storm warning. And as I mentioned, schools were closed. My guess, just from sort of looking at measurements while I was out there, the snow was past my kneecaps. So I'm thinking, you know, we got a good 30 to 40 centimeters of snow, but I'll have to check that out. Anyways, it was a lot. So, you know, an interesting day all around. Be honest, I haven't had a lot of time to think about much else, but I wanted to make sure that I stuck with my commitment of recording these podcast episodes. I did actually have an opportunity to have some lovely wines over the weekend. I celebrated my birthday on Saturday, and so that gave us a reason to enjoy some really great wine. And I will record episodes in the future where I share tasting notes of some of the wines that I've had, but I don't intend to do that today. What I thought I would do, though, is talk a little bit about wine that is made essentially in snow and ice. And so if you haven't guessed already, I'll let you know I'm referring to ice wine. Ice wine is a specialty here in Canada. Certainly in Ontario, where I live, ice wine is considered to be a special product here. It's something that we are known for doing really well. Also in BC, there's some ice wine coming out of BC, but there are other parts of the world where there's ice wine as well, including in Germany. Ice wine itself is, you know, it's always a sweet wine. So I'll just talk a little bit about the characteristics of ice wine, and I'll confess that it's a style of wine that I think you either, you know, adore or you're somewhat neutral towards. And I would probably put myself in the somewhat neutral category. In the past, I've enjoyed ice wine for sure, but it's been a little bit of a novelty. It's not something that I drink on the regular, so to speak, or that I have studied deeply, but I'm sure as I continue my wine journey and studies, I'll learn more and try more. I do have several bottles of ice wine downstairs in my cellar, but I don't really drink it that regularly. So just to go over, and I assume most people that are listening to this podcast episode are probably in the same boat. So let's just go over some of the basics of what ice wine is. So as I mentioned, ice wine is very well associated with Canada. It's also produced in Germany and perhaps in other smaller parts or smaller amounts in other parts of the world. Ice wine is always sweet. And the reason for that is that ice wine, by definition and by terminology, is made from grapes that have frozen. Now, depending on where you are in the world, there are different regulations for how frozen the grapes need to be. So how affected do they need to be by the ice and how sweet must they be? But generally, they're left to hang all the way into the winter, and then they, you know, freeze. And that essentially freezes the sugars, which have become quite concentrated from the fruit hanging for so long. So ice wine is always going to be sweet. You can always assume it will be quite sweet. It is a dessert wine, typically. And it comes in, you know, a variety of styles. I don't know about that. I mean, I think it's always, it always tastes pretty similar in terms of its profile of being thicker and sweeter. However, having said that, it can still be extremely complex and interesting and can carry different notes depending on, you know, the terroir, the grape, and the winemaker's winemaking style. So it's not to say that all ice wine always tastes the same. It can be different, and it can be interesting. And here in Ontario, we do have an ice wine festival, which this year is a, you know, it's kind of a muted version of what it typically used to be. But several of our wineries here in Niagara will open up their doors and do special tastings and pairings around their ice wines and really showcase what they can do with their ice wines. Often ice wines will have dried fruit characteristics, which will really make the dried fruit and cheese and nut platter come alive, so they can make beautiful pairings. Also, the sweetness of the wine can be really good for spicy food sometimes. So some people I know like to sort of dabble with ice wine after they've had a really intense spicy meal. So there you go. That's a little bit about ice wine. I would definitely encourage everybody to give it a go. It's a nice addition to a big dinner. And you know, there are lots of different styles, in fact, of sweet wines to try, but obviously being a Canadian, a proud Canadian, I do want to recommend ice wine to everybody. And you know, certainly give Canadian ice wine a try. It's, you know, second to none. It can be very, very good. With that, I will wish you farewell. I wish you lots of love and light. I'm going to go get some rest and I will catch up with you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast. I hope you're enjoying the podcast thus far. Be sure to hit subscribe to be notified of future episodes or leave a review to let me know what you think. Take care.